The Haines Assembly and School Board meet for their annual meeting, and a bill to allow a popular Air Ambulance Service membership program to resume coverage is making its way through the legislature. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly and School Board will meet Tuesday for their annual joint meeting. Borough code requires the two boards meet together at least once a year. This year's meeting agenda seems to have an emphasis on facilities and maintenance. The first item the two boards will discuss is a school district major maintenance project status and action plan. Borough Public Facilities Director Carlos Jimenez will give an update of all the projects underway or planned with the school, and the assembly and board will discuss how those projects are being funded or need to be funded. Some requests are sitting with the state legislature, and some may be reimbursable through the Department of Education. Although those are tenuous options, says Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott. A proposed motion the Assembly and School Board may vote on Tuesday is whether to proceed with placing a bond question on this year's ballot to pay for some of the projects. Mayor Scott said one of the projects likely to be discussed for bonding is the borough swimming pool. The pool needs repairs because it leaks into the high school locker room. As the mayor put it, the borough at some point needs to make a decision to fix a pool or drain it. And to fix it likely requires a bond, she said, if there isn't any money awarded from the legislature. The school board is also planning on updating the assembly on Mosquito Lake School. The school board this spring will decide whether to keep the school open despite low enrollment and expected low enrollment next year, or whether to close the school to save money. Mayor Scott said she was told a task force is looking at options for the school and is expected to provide a report to the school board at its next meeting on March 11th. The board won't make a decision about the fate of the school until then. But the mayor said the borough will need to eventually address what to do with the building if the school is closed. The assembly and school board are also planning to discuss preschool education. There's a motion suggested that, if passed, would approve the idea of locating the Chilkat Valley Preschool in a modular building on the school campus at some point. The preschool is looking at that idea as an alternative to leasing the borough-owned human resources building where the school operates now. The borough wants to sell or dispose of the building and has extended the preschool lease to the end of next year, but said it won't renew it again. The Haines Assembly and Haines School Board meet at 6:30 Tuesday evening in the school library. Legislation allowing a popular Air Ambulance Services membership program to resume coverage passed the state Senate late last week. Seattle-based Airlift Northwest began the Air Care program in 2008. The state told it to begin shutting down last year. AirCare covered the difference between the medevac flight costs and the amount insurance covers. Those flights can run $100,000 or more, so deductibles or copays are large. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman sponsored the bill that passed unopposed on Friday.
A lot of us are stuck on islands and in remote areas. We don't have close proximity to some of the major hospitals like in Anchorage, and we use a lot of the medevac flight services to get out of our area and to expert medical care that's unavailable to us.
Senate Bill 159 does not name AirCare, but allows all such membership programs to operate in Alaska. Insurance officials decided the program did not meet state standards last November. It allowed existing subscribers to keep their memberships until they ran out, but renewals and new memberships were prohibited. Senate Minority Leader Hollis French, an Anchorage Democrat, criticized that decision.
What bothered me the most was the degree to which the Division of Insurance was going out of its way to pick on this company. They are a nonprofit. They operate out of Washington State. There was an avenue, I think, under existing statutes that would have allowed them to continue.
Airlift Northwest is part of the University of Washington Medical System. The measure now goes to the State House. Juneau Republican Representative Kathy Munoz authored a similar measure. House Bill 300 has had one hearing in its only committee of referral. The AirCare program has about 3,200 Alaska members, most who live in Southeast. A Fairbanks company, Apollo Meditrans, offered more traditional medevac insurance, but state officials shut it down last year after it failed to renew its license. It took several months to resume operations. state officials want the federal government to remove some protections for southeast and south central humpback whales. But a noted researcher says it's too early to do that. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Whalers killed so many humpbacks in the 19th and 20th centuries that many worried they might become extinct. Harvests ended in the mid-1960s when an international treaty took effect. Then populations began to grow as governments adopted protective policies.
This is a success story. This is one species that no longer needs the protection of the Endangered Species Act, and we should celebrate that.
Doug Vincent Lang is director of the state's Division of Wildlife Conservation. He says humpbacks will stay safe even if they lose the Act's protections.
Even if you delisted the species at the end of the day, they'd still be adequately protected under existing whaling agreements and existing Marine Mammal Protection Act regulations.
He says humpbacks are numerous in waters from Cook Inlet to southern southeast, the population the state wants delisted. The whales still die of disease in old age when hit by ships or tangled in fishing gear. But he says rapid population growth, which the state estimates at 7%, means there are plenty to replace them. University of Alaska marine biologist Jan Straley says it's not that easy.
Just to say you're going to delist the central stock is almost a simplistic way of saying these whales are one big group, but really, in essence, when they come to Alaska, they aren't.
Straley says breaking up Alaska humpbacks into eastern or western populations does not reflect their full life cycle. Most southeast whales winter in Hawaiian waters, though some swim to Mexico. But when they return in the summer, they split up and head to specific parts of the coast. As that cycle repeats, they develop hereditary differences.
You could basically wipe out a whole genetic lineage of whales if something happened catastrophically. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but, you know, it's a risk of kind of ignoring that part of the structure of the population.
She agrees humpback numbers have grown, but she says the most frequently used estimate is based on old research, so there's no way of knowing for sure what's happening now. The petition to remove the whales from Endangered Species Act listings was submitted to the National Marine Fisheries Service, also called NOAA Fisheries. That agency has 90 days to decide whether it's worth considering the petition. If it does, spokeswoman Julie Spiegel says a full review will take about a year.
We look at factors that may cause the population to have difficulty in the future, like ocean acidification, lack of food, that type thing.
Studies suggest a more acidic ocean could hurt krill, small shrimp-like organisms humpbacks eat. If the petition is approved, the population will continue to be covered by the Federal Marine Mammals Protection Act. That prohibits hunting, requires habitat protections, and sets a safe distance for whale-watching tours. So what more does the Species Act do? NOAA Fisheries' John Kerlin says it reviews any federally funded work that could affect the whales.
We do consultations on things as simple as coastal construction projects, revamping a port or harbor, driving piles for a wharf, to broader scale activities like seismic exploration for oil and gas.
The Hawaii Fishermen's Alliance, which works where whales spend the winter, filed its own humpback delisting petition last April. That's going through the review process now. NOAA Fisheries Spiegel says it covers all North Pacific humpbacks, a larger population.
The central North Pacific stock, which the state of Alaska is now petitioning us to designate as a distinct population segment, would be a subcategory of that. So we'll have to look, do some checking internally here and see how these two petitions dovetail.
Alaska officials are looking at other marine mammals they think no longer need Endangered Species Act listings. Wildlife Conservation's Doug Vincent Lang says bowhead whales are a possibility. So is the western population of Steller sea lions.
That population is currently listed as endangered, but there's 75 to 80,000 of those animals now, and we think at least the downlisting to threaten this may be appropriate at this point in time, if not a complete delisting.
Removing a marine mammal population from Endangered Species Act protections is not unheard of. NOAA Fisheries pulled eastern North Pacific gray whales off the list 20 years ago, And last year, it delisted eastern Steller sea lions, which live in southeast. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
And we wanted to give you a look ahead at some of the stories we have coming up this week on KHNS News. We take a tour of the Haines Sewer Facility, looking at why exactly this is the borough's number one priority to fix and rehabilitate. We look at a bill in the state legislature aimed at relaxing some decades-old restrictions on distilleries in Alaska, and how one local craft distillery is involved. And we'll review some of the discussion and decisions from the joint Haines Assembly and School Board meeting. We'll also look ahead to the Economic Development Summit scheduled for this weekend in Haines. Tuesday evening, we'll also have a listener commentary about the Skagway and White Pass proposed lease. That's all coming up this week on KHNS Local News, so stay tuned. For KHNS Local News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS Local News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Klukwan. We also bring you wider-reaching stories from around the region to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained, and we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.